May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each one for the good of all. So often when we think about the letter to the Corinthians, there's this debate going on about which is the greatest gift. And they talk about the speaking in tongues as being the highest form of God's Spirit working in people. But the Apostle Paul knew that the only thing that was important was that the gifts are used for the common good. That the spiritual gifts that are given to members of a community are for the good of everyone. Otherwise, they're not much good at all. We always need to remember that the spiritual gifts are not given to each one for their individual improvements or even their personal holiness. The gifts are given in order that the community might benefit. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us for the common good. Churches are called into being for the purpose of advancing the common good in the community. This is what we are called to do and to be, and it is what the Apostle Paul is reminding his congregation in Corinth about. This new church has forgotten its purpose and is confused about how and why its members have been blessed with a variety of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives the ability for all their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. And then he goes on to list all the different things that people do that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. God is on display as people let the Holy Spirit do its work through them. God is most present and revealed in a wide variety of gifts and exhibited by his followers. Now, Paul was a brilliant theologian. God had given him a good mind, and when he was pushed into a corner, he would say, "I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm as religious a person as you can imagine, but this is not what I'm standing on. What I am encouraging you all to do is to be open to the power of the Spirit in your lives. Not that you become better persons necessarily, although that will happen, but in order that all of the community may benefit." And he knew that, because it is not something that stays bottled up. The Spirit of God is like manna that the people were given when they were wandering in the wilderness. It was only good for that morning. Otherwise, it went bad. It was only good for them, and it only sustained the community as they renewed it day by day. This is the way that it is with the Holy Spirit at work in our lives and the gifts that are given. The church has been benefited from Paul's clear thinking as a theologian, but what he wanted them to do most of all was to imitate him in his life. In Colossians, Paul writes, "God lives in all of us. God's love is for all of the people. So be gentle and kind, humble, meek, patient. Put up with one another. Forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as Christ has forgiven you." Love is more important than anything else. It's what ties everything together. Whatever you say or do, you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, in order for the good of the community, in order to bless the community. I want to talk today about a couple of people. One is Dr. Martin Luther King. Tomorrow we celebrate his birthday. He was a true American hero. His birthday we celebrate tomorrow is a reminder to us of what it means to be gifted and to share those gifts with the community. The other person is Fred Rogers. Usually those two people aren't put together in the same paragraph. But these two were born less than a year apart. And they have an enormous influence on their community, and they continue, even in their death, to influence people. God has achieved purposes in their lives and their legacy. Each of them was powerfully influenced by loving and generous people. I'm using for my source a book by Vincent Harding, Martin Luther King, The Inconvenient Hero. Martin Luther King, Jr. was a smart and sensitive and high-spirited child who grew up in the South that was segregated. Segregation means that people are separated into groups just because of the color of their skin. There were separate bathrooms. There were separate drinking fountains. There were separate waiting rooms. Schools were separated by race. There were places that, if you're the color of your skin was darker than the rest, you were not allowed. You couldn't even go into a movie theater except in a certain section. And you were often illegally kept from voting. There were stores that people would not serve you just because of the color of your skin. And there were laws that were discriminating and attitudes that separated people from people. It was into this world that Martin Luther King Jr. was born. How do you learn to love in that kind of setting? One of the people that influenced his life was his grandmother. She lived with the family in the heart of Atlanta in the African American community there. She had a spiritual gift of serving. Martin and his sister and brother were generously loved, nurtured, taught, some said sometimes spoiled, by Jenny C. Williams, their grandmother. The Spirit was working in and through her for the good of that community. And they were infected by that goodness, by that Spirit. They grew up in the Ebenezer Baptist Church, and they were surrounded by hundreds of caring church members. Ebenezer means stone of help. And at noon, the Ebenezer Karen Baptist Church will meet here in this place. Martin's father, Martin Luther King Sr., inspired that Atlanta congregation. And he inspired his children. He was an example to them about how to face unjust laws and racist attitudes. One story is told about Martin. He went with his father to the shoe store. And his father was a big man, respected in the community, a man in his 40s. And he went and sat down, and he wanted service. He wanted to buy a new pair of shoes. The white clerk insisted that they go back to the colored section of the store. But Martin's father said, no. We'll either buy shoes here or we won't buy shoes at all. And it wasn't long before they walked out without new shoes, but with a sense of personal pride. Martin saw him. Martin saw him stand up in the face of something that was very wrong. Martin was watching his father when a white police officer stopped their car. "All right, boy, pull over," he said. Martin's father responded by pointing to his son, "Officer, this is a boy. I am a man." He didn't leave the encounter without a ticket, but with his pride intact. Martin saw this. He lived this. He saw how his father dealt with others. He saw what was important to his father. He saw the Spirit of God at work in him and for the betterment of his community, and he was inspired to become a pastor. It was this infectious Spirit of God that was at work for the community that made the difference. He watched his father's courage and leadership in campaigns to register people to vote in order to get equal pay for black teachers, in order to feed the hungry. He was a loving father and an effective pastor and organizer. Martin Luther King Jr. saw the Spirit's presence in his father's life, working for the common good, and he decided to become a minister and walk in his steps. It was the faithful life of Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks was a seamstress. She sewed other people's clothes. But she also was a worker for justice and a believer that someday people would be free and equal. She was sitting on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama, in the colored section, as it was called then, when the bus started to fill up from the front with all the white passengers. And pretty soon it was all the way full, all the way up to the black, the colored line. When there was a white woman standing, the bus driver came back and said, "Ma'am, you need to get up for this woman." But she didn't. She sat. She was arrested. And that began a strike in Montgomery, Alabama that lasted what seemed forever. People walked. People carpooled. They found a way to boycott the public transportation. And it crippled that bus line in Montgomery. Martin Luther King Jr. became the spokesperson for those ordinary people in Montgomery, Alabama, and for Rosa Parks. And things changed. Things changed because of their faithfulness, because of their willingness to suffer. And things changed not only in Montgomery, Alabama. Things were changing throughout the country because of that faithful witness. It was this faithful life of Rosa Parks that inspired Martin Luther King Jr. He would go on to lead other protests and marches. He changed the world and how people saw the world. It was through spiritual gifts of love and compassion and that seeking after justice that allowed him to stand up in the face of darkness and injustice and unfairness. Vincent Harding, in his book, concludes, "Take care to let the stories of their goodness become part of your story." The Apostle Paul would say amen to that, because he knew that it was important what you believe. But unless you act on those beliefs, and unless the common good is served, it does little good. Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers was not a black man, but he was an ordained Presbyterian minister, and he worked for a public television station in Pittsburgh. He went to school in part-time and became a minister in the Presbyterian Church. And his charge was not to go stand in front of a church like me, but to stand in front of millions of people every day on his television program and continue his work to create and contributing to a wholesome children's television programming. It was his passion. It was his spiritual gift. It was his way of serving. It was a way of improving his community. It was a way of serving the common good. God gave him the ability, and the Spirit's presence was shown through him. This is an amazing picture that we see. This little boy recognized Mr. Rogers when he came to his school. And he was so excited that all he could do was put up his hands, and he cradled Mr. Rogers' face. Mr. Rogers was a gentle man, and it seems odd that he should have such a powerful influence. He talked way too slow for children's TV. He was way too plain. He was really not fancy at all. But he spoke to their hearts. And he told the story about his mother, who inspired him. He said, "When I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news. And my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.' And to this day, and especially in times of disasters, I remember my mother's words, and I'm always comforted by realizing that there still are so many helpers, so many caring people in this world." We are reeling from one bad story to the next, it seems, in this country. Parents are looking for a way to explain the unexplainable to their children, and they also need an explanation for themselves. We would do well to heed Mr. Rogers' mother's advice. Look for the helpers. This is what Paul would inspire us to be, the helpers that make a difference in the world. Mr. Rogers was known to children everywhere. 170 million Americans for public broadcasting shared this quote about helpers. 170 million people shared that quote. It's unbelievable. And since then, That quote has come up since he was alive. It has been used often for a whole variety of reasons in a variety of settings. Even in Meet the Press, David Gregory offered a prayer for the families affected following the Sandy Hook shooting. May God give you strength, and at least you can know there's a country full of helpers there to catch you when you feel like falling. Mr. Rogers was visiting a school to spend some time with children. And this was an encounter with a young child. He immediately went up to him, held his hands out to touch him. "Mr. Rogers," he said in total awe. There was a moment that was captured in this photo. I think it shows the pure attraction, the love. It was like seeing God. It was like touching God. The Apostle Paul said, we have all been given gifts. There's all things that we can do that no one can do quite like we do them. And we are placed into communities and we are placed into relationships that are unique. Each one is different. And each one has a part. Each one has something to offer the community. And the community benefits. And things change. And people are given hope. People understand the world differently and that they are not alone and that they are loved. And because of that, they are able to share love. And that love has its source in the spirit that lives within us. Thank goodness for people like Martin Luther King Jr., for Rosa Parks, for Martin's father, for his grandmother, for Mr. Rogers, for his mother, and for each one who makes a difference in this world. It's no small thing. It is what keeps the world sane. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that you use ordinary people, that you don't wait for us to become superheroes. Help us to step up. Help us to be part of what you call us to be, your body, your ears and eyes, your hands, your feet, your heart, here on earth. Lord, the greatest privilege that we can know is to be used by your Spirit. May we be open to that Spirit now. Amen.